Welcome back, I hope, to Playgirl Sex Pod here on PlayGirlTV.com or wherever you download this fabulous broadcast. I'm Jamie Waxman, the sex advice columnist for Playgirl Magazine, where you can read my monthly column, Sex Ed, or Sext, as I like to call it. And I'm also one of the voices for Playgirl TV, a fantastic new video on demand system you can get online or through your local cable network. And basically, we have 10-15 minute clips, vignettes of beautifully shot and done adult erotic entertainment that's geared towards women and couples. And I usually have a brand new podcast every Monday, but as I like to say, better late than pregnant. Although, you know, I don't know how many people would agree with me there. I have become a bit obsessed. Well, I should backtrack for a second. I would definitely say I have obsessive compulsive disorder, always have. When I was growing up, when I would be tucked into bed, my parents had to do four things before they could leave my room. One was look in the closet. One was look under my bed. One was to make sure all my covers were tucked in. And one was to kiss me goodnight. And this had to be done every night. My whole family has some sort of OCD. My brother, he washed his hands too many times, like until they bled. And I'm not sure what my sister's done, but I know that we've all gone back and forth with our OCD, and I can always find something to obsess about. And this week, I happen to be obsessing about Maureen Dowd's new book, which comes out today, November 8th, the day I'm launching this podcast. The book is called Are Men Necessary When Sexes Collide? Now, I have no idea what's in the book. I have not received my advance copy. And because I don't think I'm going to, I actually went and bought my copy yesterday. So I'm waiting for it to come. And then I'm very excited to quickly read this much talked about new book coming out. Obviously, great title, really great to get your attention and to sell a couple of books. But 2 weeks ago, Dowd had a piece in the New York Times Magazine entitled What's a Modern Girl to Do? Now, I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts from this piece, and you'll see where she starts to really get you thinking. So this is Maureen Dowd's words. My mom gave me three essential books on the subject of men. The first, when I was 13, was On Becoming a Woman. The second, when I was 21, was 365 Ways to Cook Hamburger. The third, when I was 25, was How to Catch and Hold a Man by Yvonne Antel. Keep thinking of yourself as a soft, mysterious cat. Men are fascinated by bright, shiny objects, by lots of curls, lots of hair on the head, by bows, ribbons, ruffles, and bright colors. Sarcasm is dangerous. Avoid it altogether. Apparently, that's some advice from How to Catch and Hold a Man. So Dowd continues, because I received How to Catch and Hold a Man at a time when we were entering the age of equality, I put it aside as an anachronism. After all, sometime in the 1960s, flirting went out of fashion, as did ironing boards, makeup, and the idea that men needed to be trapped or landed. The way to approach men was reason, was forthright and without games, artifice, or frills. Unfortunately, history has shown this to be a misguided notion. Here's where it starts to get good. Well, actually, I think the whole thing is good. I knew it even before the 1995 publication of The Rules, a dating Bible that encouraged women to return to pre-feminist mind games by playing hard to get. Don't stay on the phone for more than 10 minutes, even if you are the head of your own company. When you're with a man you like, be quiet and mysterious. Act ladylike, cross your legs, and smile. Wear black sheer pantyhose and hike up your skirt to entice the opposite sex. Today, women have gone back to hunting their quarry in person and in cyberspace with elaborate schemes designed to allow the deluded creatures to think that they are the hunters. Men like hunting, and we shouldn't deprive them of their chance to do their hunting and mating rituals, my 26-year-old friend Julia Bossman, a New York Times reporter, says. As my mom says, men don't like to be chased, or as the Marvelettes sang, the hunter gets captured by the game. These days, the key to staying cool in the courtship rituals is B&I, girls say, busy and important. As much as you're waiting for that little envelope to appear on your screen, says Carrie Forster, a 29-year-old publicist in Washington, you happen to have a lot of stuff to do anyway. If a guy rejects you or turns out to be the essence of evil, you can ratchet up from B&I to CBB, can't be bothered, in the TMI. Too much information, digital age. There can be an infinite technological foreplay. Okay, I've read a lot, but I'm really fascinated with this article that basically says women want to go back to playing games, which I don't necessarily disagree with, game playing, that is, and that, well, it continues. Let's just go on a little bit more. Sylvia Ann Hewlett, an economist and the author of Creating a Life, Professional Women and the Quest for Children, a book published in 2002, conducted a survey and found that 55% of 35-year-old career women were childless. And among corporate executives who earn $100,000 or more, she said, 49% of the women did not have children, compared with only 19% of the men. Now, let's stop here for a second, because this is a good point, the fact that there might be more career-driven women without children. But what I feel fails to be noticed here is that the reason more women who are career-driven may choose not to have children and less men is that there's a 9-month period where we have to carry that fetus, and then we have to connect with that fetus by breastfeeding or other nurturing for the next few weeks or months before we can return to a normal or semi-normal way of life. We are mothers who carry the fetus and eventually have the baby, really have a very different experience when it comes to pregnancy than their male counterparts. And while I think it's fantastic and I encourage fathers to want to be part of their child's upbringing from the day of conception, I also think it's unfair to think that it's just as easy for the women to get back into life as it is for the men to remain in their life, not grow a belly, not become uncomfortable, not have to go through labor and birth and all the things before and after. And so it's a very perhaps accurate statement, but very unfair to make, at least in my opinion. Okay, a 2005, this is going back to Dowd's article. A 2005 report by researchers at four British universities indicated that a high IQ hampers a woman's chance to marry. While it's a plus for men, the prospect for marriage increased by 35% for guys for each 16-point increase in IQ. For women, there's a 40% drop for each 16-point rise. This is where I started to get really sad. I mean, everybody has their opinions about how to date and how not to date and how to capture a man and who should ask people out on a first date, who should be the hunter and who should be the prey. And you know, I have my own opinions as well, and hopefully I'll get into some of those today, or I definitely will at some other point on a sex pod or other articles that I'm sure will be written. But this is unfair because I think it could be true in a very generalized way. I do think that, of course, there are some men threatened by successful, career-driven, highly ambitious, highly intelligent women. But really, if you want to get down to the bare bones in about 30 seconds or less, and they don't want those kinds of women, it's not worth it for a woman to try for those kind of men. There are a lot of smart, intelligent, ambitious, career-driven, loving potential mates for smart women. I think it's just harder to find. Now, I also think that a lot of these generalizations happen in larger cities where the pickings aren't as slim. I don't know if you live or have ever lived in a smaller city or where you live now, but I feel like in a large city like New York, where this podcast is broadcast from and where I happen to live, it's much easier to say as a man, this is what I'm looking for in a woman, or as a woman, this is what I am and this is what I'm looking for in a mate or a man. But and we do have more options and choices, and we do meet a lot more interesting people because they're out there here in New York. So I don't think that necessarily. I think if you're living, you know, in a town like, oh, Bucyrus, Ohio, a town that I happen to live in, a population 11,000, which still is a little high even for small towns, perhaps, you're not going to be as turned off to a smart, ambitious woman if she's single and in the age range and attractive of what you're looking for. You're maybe going to think she'll change, but you're not going to be completely turned off by who she is or what she stands for. So there are a lot of generalizations made here. And I'd like to go back to a little bit more of the Doubt article because there's more, and it upsets me here as well. Feminists in the 70s went overboard. Ann Schroeder, a 26-year-old magazine editor in Washington, agrees. Paying is like opening a car door. It's nice, I appreciate it, but he doesn't have to, unless he wants another date. Women in their 20s think old-school feminists looked for equality in all the wrong places. That instead of fighting battles about whether women should pay for dinner or wear padded bras, they should have focused only on big economic issues. After Googling and Bikraming to get ready for a first dinner date, a modern girl will end the evening with the offering, an insincere bid to help pay the check. They make like they are heading into their bag after a meal, but it's a dodge, Mark Santora, a 30-year-old Metro reporter for The Times, says. They know you'll stop them before a credit card can be drawn. If you don't, they hold it against you. One of my girlfriends, a TV producer in New York, told me much the same thing. If you offer to pay, that is, she hasn't written that part of the line, and they accept, then it's over. But it doesn't matter if the woman is making as much money as the man or more. She expects him to pay, both to prove her desirability and as a way of signaling romance. Something that's more confusing in a dating culture rife with casual hookups and group activities. Once beyond the initial testing phase and settled in a relationship, of course, she can pony up more. Okay, this topic is a very interesting one. I do agree. Now, I have to say, for my own sake and for my own sanity and for my own self, I really don't agree that men have to pay on the first date, but I do think I'm in the minority. I do think that most women want their men to pay for dinner, a movie, whatever it is. And actually, I'd love you guys to tell me what you think. So please go to the PlaygirlTV.com site, click on podcasts, and you can email me directly through there. But I really do think that a lot of women won't say what they mean when it comes to this. It's the same as opening a door. Some women will really be turned off if a guy doesn't open a door or let her, you know, get into the car as he holds the door, whatever it is. And instead of saying anything, she lets it boil inside of her until it gets to a point where she can't stand it anymore, and then it's just over. But at the same time, why do we have this like conception that the guy has to pay? Where does this come from? Where is this bred in us? Is it society, genetics, and culture that just tell us that it's a man being a man and paying for a date? I get very upset when people say, oh, she's acting like a man, or, oh, he's not being a man. What is a man? It's a man is a, okay, if I'm going to go with a strict definition of what a man is, I'm going to say a man is biologically defined as somebody born with the genitals that resemble a penis. Now, that's so technically simple and at the same time doesn't say much, is born with XY chromosomes. That's a man. Now, how a man acts, now a woman acts, if a woman's acting like a man, which I assume means, and assume makes an ass out of you and me, I assume means is more aggressive, assertive, confident. Well, a woman's just acting like a woman with certain traits that I don't know, she happens to have. So this kind of stuff gets me very upset. And I've been wondering, I mean, what does this article mean for the independent, free-thinking woman like myself? You know, is this the end of the hope, in the hope of finding true love? I was really disturbed and distraught with the notion. And at the beginning, I did believe that maybe this was the beginning of the end of something I truly believed in. But really, after thinking about this a lot and, you know, having the support of somebody who does love me and happens to be a man and happens to support what I do, I know this isn't the case. I mean, I'm sure there are men who won't want to be with me because I'm successful, or, you know, I want to be successful. Maybe I think I'm successful and I'm not yet. But, you know, I don't want to be with them either. So I think that there are a lot of strong women out there who have met fantastic men, and that, you know, I'm really excited to read Maureen Dowd's book coming out again today, Are Men Necessary When Sexes Collide? But I don't know. There's something about it that really upsets me. I feel like part of it was just about selling books. Now, there was an about.com poll question for guys only, which, of course, I answered, which is why I love the accuracy of polls. What's your opinion on a woman approaching you and asking you out on a date? And of the 1,547 votes, 1,032 said they were all for it. Another 353, one of which I am, since I decided this would be a fun answer, is it depends if I think she's cute. And 162 said I prefer the man to be the pursuer. So really, if this poll is of any accuracy, which, like I said, it was for guys only and I voted, it goes to show you that there are men out there that are all for the woman being able to ask the man out on a date. I downloaded a lot of silly stuff about, like, how to seduce a woman, but I'm going to leave that for another time. There is one other thing I need to talk about right now. This book, The List. I shouldn't give it much more props than that. So from now on, I'm just going to call it the book designed to waste paper or something like that. It's called The Book Designed to Waste Paper, 7 Ways to Tell If He's Going to Marry You in 30 Days or Less. These are the kind of things that make books like Are Men Necessary much more socially acceptable. So here is the list. And if he does these 7 things in the first 30 days, I guess it would have to be, then he is of the marrying type. 1, he makes the first move. Now, I just read you that survey. And some guys are shy and intimidated by the women they like, so they might wait a bit, but he has to make the first move. 2, he calls you within 24 hours to 48 hours to set up a first date. That's after he makes the first move. Now, obviously, that does show he's interested, and that's very exciting, because I do think that if someone doesn't contact you within 72 hours of their first contact, they aren't really all that interested in you. 3, he makes the first date easy and fun. Now, this is where I start to get really pissed off again, because why is it all his responsibility? Shouldn't you be trying to make the date fun as well? Mm-hmm. 4, he calls you within 24 hours to set up a subsequent date. And they are easy, fun, and one-on-one, these dates. Ugh, pathetic, these women. Now, I mean, he should do this, or you could call him if you really want. Fine, I think he should call you if you're really wanting to test how into you he is. But this stupid easy, fun, and one-on-one. Yes, of course you want it to be one-on-one. If he's telling you to come out with his friends, well, it can mean 2 things. It could mean that he thinks you're the coolest girl in the world and he really wants his friends to meet you right away. Or it could mean, I don't really want to go out with you, but I want to get in your pants. And so maybe if I get you drunk with my friends, it'll be easy to screw with you. But who knows? 5. Now this one, I swear I want to punch these ladies. He wants to talk to you every day and wants to spend all his free time with you. I'm sorry, if that's how he is within the first 30 days, he's called pathetic in my book. And I'll tell you why. Because 1, yes, it's nice to want to talk to the person that you like every day. And I do think over time, relationships build up to that point. But no way do I want somebody who has to talk to me every day from the beginning. I mean, that seems a little clingy and needy. Ever heard of those words in this book that just wasted paper to be published? And then he wants to spend all of his free time with you. Okay, again, look, I would love to sleep in the same bed with my partner every night, even when we don't live together. But the truth of it is, sometimes we don't. And the truth of, like, the more, like, stupid thing that they're saying here is, if he wanted to spend all his free time with me, it would be called, he has no life. And really, how pathetic and needy is that? Number 6, he demonstrates unconditional loyalty. Is he a freaking dog? I mean, yes, he should be somebody that supports you and loves you eventually. Once you get to that point in the relationship, it doesn't necessarily happen in the first 30 days, although you shouldn't have any major fights in those first 30 days either. If you do, maybe not worth it. But seriously, people, unconditional loyalty, I save that for my dog. And I don't have a dog. Number 7, he talks about marrying you in concrete terms and proposes or lets you know his intentions. Now, great. If in 30 days you know this is the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, all the power to you. But truthfully, it takes a little bit more time than that to get to know somebody, people. I'm telling you, this book is a complete waste of paper, and I don't even want to say the name of it again, and I won't. So, there was one other thing in it that really got my goat, and it was one of the wrap-ups. And it says, so now your list man has made the first move by approaching you, calling you at an appropriate time. I assume that means not at 3 in the morning, which, yeah, would be smart. And making plans to go on a date with you. Remember, if he calls right away but doesn't ask you out, he isn't worth your time. He may give good phone, but he isn't a man of action. If he doesn't ask you out during the phone call, don't take any more phone calls from him. Okay, fine. Maybe it would be wise for a guy to ask you out that first phone call, but if you want to see him and you can tell he's stuttering or staggering a little and asking him out, then make a date yourself, lady. Be in control. Okay, if he failed to ask you on a date during your first phone conversation and you still want to give him another chance, the only thing he can do to save himself, oh man, these women, is ask you out by leaving a very specific message on your machine. So what are you suggesting, stupid ladies, that next time he calls, you pick up the phone and say, you know what, please leave a specific message on my machine? Guys aren't that smart. I mean, they are smart. Some of them are very smart. But when it comes to dating, relationships, and women, not really. Hello. Oh, man. Dumb women. Okay. And then number 3, continue to be enthusiastic and encouraging to men who adhere to the name of the book. And I refuse to say the name because I'm just so angry right now. Anyway, I will say that there is a book out there that I actually first wanted to puke when I saw the title and thought, oh, no, not another. And I happened to know the woman who wrote it and thought, oh, she's so kooky. No. But she gives some good advice. And if you're serious about meeting somebody that you may want to marry, I'd say check out Get Serious About Getting Married by Janice Spindell, because, you know, that's a book that actually offers some realistic advice. Whew. So I've been thinking a lot about this idea of men, women, dating, the sexes, gender, and I'm not exactly sure what's a girl to do. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of paper out there that gives women some really bad advice. So I'd love to know, do men like to be asked out by women? Is an aggressive, smart, assertive woman someone you would date? I know that I'd hope it's someone I would date if I was a man, since I feel that's the kind of woman I am. But I don't know. Anyway, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get any feedback possible from Playgirls Sex Pod. And if you haven't checked out any of the first 8 sex pods, please do so by going to playgirltv.com and clicking on the podcast link. Also, if you're looking for some good erotic entertainment, definitely check out playgirltv.com, because I'm telling you, I write the voiceovers for these videos, and some of them are really hot, really hot. Anyway, I'm Jamie Waxman, and this has been Playgirls Sex Pod, And I'll be back again next week. Until then, come again and again and bring your man home and take him down again. Thanks for listening.